This is the Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with people today, as you know, about President Bush's decision not to back those ads that have been placed by Swift Boat Veterans. The president saying, the Swift Boat Veteran ad saying that John Kerry did not serve honorably in Vietnam, and in point of fact, his Purple Hearts should not have been awarded. R.C. Collins is a military academy student. This is the summer. He's, I guess, out of school, and we're speaking with all kinds of people. And R.C., you are with us from Northern California, correct? Young man, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're with us in Northern California, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
And you are a student, a cadet at Bradley Military Academy?
That is correct, yes.
Can you tell me how you feel as a student, as a prep school student, as a military academy student, how you feel about President Bush and his decision not to back these ads on John Kerry?
Yes, sir, as I told your producer, I don't feel the president has backed up his word to the military about it. He has, in our opinion, done something that I think is dishonorable. He has not had the courage of his convictions to stay the course and say that John Kerry was not an effective soldier in Vietnam. And those of us who are in military academies and are someday going to go into the United States Army and other branches of the military need to look to our commander-in-chief for leadership, and we don't think that he's shown it.
All right, now I understand the president believes these ads to be unfair and to be defamatory. He's announced his opposition to them. So when you say that Kerry is a guy that doesn't have didn't have the goods in Vietnam, and that the president is showing he doesn't have the goods, are you referring specifically to the president, like his being commander-in-chief, because you're talking about being in the military?
Yes, sir, because the Articles of War call on the President of the United States to be the commander-in-chief if there's a war. John Kerry, he doesn't have the experience, and President Bush showed that he doesn't have the resolve to be tough with our enemies. He basically leaves me and other future members of the military, to use a phrase that we use in the military, with our butts hanging out in the breeze, and we think.
So you think these ads should continue?
Well, I don't really. Yeah, I think they should, but President Bush shouldn't have become afraid of it. And that makes me question whether we have an effective military commander-in-chief at this time. And so,
You were talking about a military coup. What did you mean by that?
Excuse me?
You were talking about a military coup. What did you mean by that?
The military has to take into consideration if the commander-in-chief is of sound mind and is acting in the interest of the country. If he is not acting in the interest of the country at that time, then we, and it's something that I should inform you now about and your listeners about if they don't know, we then would have a limited military presence in the government. And
but that's what we call a military coup.
No, sir. Military coup is what, I'm not talking about what happens in the South America. I'm talking about the U.S. military interceding long enough for the president to sort of collect his thoughts and realize that John Kerry really just basically chickened out in Vietnam, and now the president doesn't want to have nothing to do with it.
And that disappoints you?
Well, yeah, it disappoints all of us in the military.
When you say all of us in the military, you're not yet in the military, right?
Well, you say I'm not yet in the military. You kind of have to be careful how you say that, because...
Well, I mean, are you in the military? You're in a military academy.
I'm in a military academy, preparing for a career in the United States Army, yeah. So, I mean, I'm in uniform right now, and that's more than probably a lot of people.
So President Bush is the issue here, not Kerry.
Oh, by all means, yeah.
President Bush's courage is the issue here.
His resolve, more than anything else. We believed President Bush was doing the right thing in Iraq and everything that he did. Now, when they've got John Kerry basically trapped like a rat, that he didn't do anything in Vietnam except lay on a beach for 4 months, then come home, just as they've got him trapped like a rat, now Bush goes, no, we better not do it. And that makes all of us who are going to, basically who are ready to eat our own guts for our country, question it. And the message that the President Bush is sending is, hey, the U.S. military is backing down like a bunch of babies and everything like that, and we just think it's wrong.
All right, hold on, R.C. I'm going to give our phone number out here on the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Talking with R.C. as a member of Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. And I don't mean any disrespect, but you ask if Bush has what it takes. Do you have what it takes? You're still in a military academy.
Well, I, like I said, I think you need to be careful of who you ask the questions.
Well, what do you mean careful? I'm asking, do you have what it takes?
Well, if you ask if I have what it takes, no one's written a book about me being scared of anything the way they did Kerry. And I also think President Bush is acting very scared-like, too. And he's beginning to show weakness. And I'm just saying, on behalf of many of us who have served in war, and I have not yet served in a war, but there's not a lot of difference. I will be serving in a war soon. And so I'm speaking for the veterans of foreign wars, as well as the veterans of wars that they haven't fought yet, but I am a veteran anyway. And Bush, man, it's all messed up. It's bad. It just isn't what we've wanted to see, is all. And I'm a little bit nervous about being on the radio, but I'm not nervous at all about fighting for my country, but I will be nervous fighting for my country if we have a commander-in-chief who's scared and everything about Senator Kerry.
Do you think Bush is scared, R.C., or is he simply trying to be a decent man, do the decent thing, and not want to back something that he thinks is defamatory?
Well, what is defamatory about it? I mean, they said...
Well, it's a book that is based in large part on the opinions and ideas and the sensibilities of men who, yes, are veterans, but few fought alongside of Senator Kerry, ones who did...
Well, there's a few of them that was there. In a particular fight, they said that he basically chickened out. That's what they say.
No, but there's a lot of the men who fought right with him said he did everything that was on his certificates. He earned those Purple Hearts.
Well, what about Senator Dole today? He said he didn't even bleed. Purple Hearts are supposed to be given to people who have been wounded in the commission of the war and who've bled and been hospitalized. Senator Kerry, my understanding is, got his Purple Hearts because he basically, somebody, you know, pushed him or something, like someone just went, get away, you know, quit it, and they gave him a Purple Heart for that. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to get a Purple Heart because someone just goes, get out of here, you know, slaps your arm. That's ridiculous.
And I don't know that he got a Purple Heart for having his arm slapped. I'm hearing...
Well, all I'm saying is, regardless of Kerry, Bush has shown he's scared. He's scared of them, and I think he's backing down. And I just
the idea of a military coup, I think, is something that you need to understand and take into consideration. First of all, military coups are, as you indicated, they are.
Mr. Henry, if I could interrupt you,
go ahead.
You know, I don't need to be educated on what a military coup is. I'm not a member of the military, but I might as well be in the military. Because of
well, you're at a military academy.
But that's more than anybody else. A military coup is only necessary when you see that the president is just chickening out. And the military has to step in and do something about it. And that's what we're going to have to do if we see President Bush begin to lose his nerve, and that's what he's doing.
Because he won't back defamatory ads.
Because he's being scared. And that's not why... How am I supposed to go and fight for America when the president is scared? And the other thing is, the American people asked him to be.
I don't think it's fear when a man wants to do the decent thing, and that's not be defamatory or to slander a man.
Well, you're wrong, and the American people are also wrong for not saying to him, you should back those ads. So now you're asking me to fight for a president and for the American people who are scared and who've chickened out. And that's why military coups are necessary, on account of the chicken out.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. With me is R.C. Collins from a military academy in Altadena, California. And he says, let me just quote his line directly, on account of the chicken out factor, I guess is what he means, it's difficult for any man in uniform to fight for a president who chickened out the way President Bush did today in saying he is not going to back those anti-Kerry ads. It is my view that the president's doing the decent thing and saying, this is not right, this is defamatory, this is slanderous, you can't just come along and begin to make claims that cannot be proven. Many of the people that were with him say that the man acted decently. This young man believes that the president has chickened out. Now, the idea of a military coup, well, let me get this kid back on the line. Are you there?
Yes, sir, and if you don't mind, I'd really rather be referred to as cadet.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
I mean, I don't like being called kid or anything.
Okay, I didn't mean that. Military coup means a military takeover of the U.S. government.
In a limited way, yes, sir.
If the president continues to...
Well, I don't mean right now, but I'm just saying in the future, if we see a president being gutless, then we have to then move in and say, all right, we'll take over certain areas of the government.
The United States military taking over certain areas of the government.
Yeah, I don't stutter. I mean, I just...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The idea of a military coup when the military perceives the president to weaken is South American, in my opinion. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back further on the road tonight. The Tim Robbins Report, Hollywood movie star Tim Robbins, on how he believes John Kerry might have won the Vietnam War single-handedly, but it was kept from us, the news, by Richard Nixon, who didn't want a Democrat to win it. What is this all about? We'll talk with Tim Robbins, and we'll also have Harvey Wireman Senior chat. Coming up with us this hour, though, is R.C. Collins at 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show will continue in a moment.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you get a piece of fat and slide off?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to impress upon my caller here, my guest, R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. You're talking about President Bush chickening out today by not backing those anti-John Kerry ads, and that there's a possibility of a military coup anytime a president says something that the military doesn't agree with. That's what happens in other countries. This is a civilian-led military. That's why the commander-in-chief is a civilian. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand all of that, and I think that's a lot of polite conversation that, makes, civilians feel better, And
no, it's not polite conversation, sir. It's in the Constitution.
Yes, it is in the Constitution of the United States?
Yes, the Constitution of the United States.
Well, yes, it is, but you still, there's an old saying, Mr. Henry, you know, if you don't want the horns, you don't mess with the bull. Is father used to say that to me a lot. If you mess with the bull, you'll get the horns. And so.
So what does that mean, man? If an illegal. All right, let me take some phone calls then, because I can't debate this.
Well, you just know you don't have the experience on account of not being in the military.
1-800-449-8... You're right about that. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Mike?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
My comment is to this young man, he doesn't want to be called a kid. If he's in the military and he's talking about a coup, he must not know anything about the Uniform Code of Military Justice, because he'd be court-martialed in a New York minute.
For what? Just because I think... On account of what?
If you're talking about an overthrow or a coup of the military, of the U.S. government, and you're in the military, you're in violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You must not know what the UCMJ is.
Well, what's your source? What's your source on that?
I'm sorry?
What source are you working from? Where are you getting your information?
Do you know what the Uniform Code of Military Justice is?
Yeah, I am familiar with it.
You're familiar with it, and you,
I've heard
you
about
say
it.
You say you want to be in the military. If you want to be in the military, you don't talk about overthrowing the government. If you were a member of the military and you were talking about overthrowing the government, they'd have you arrested and court-martialed and locked up.
Okay, I'm talking about it now. How come they're not doing it to me now?
Well, you're not a member of the military.
You're a cadet. You're a cadet in the military academy.
Yeah, he's not in the military, and I don't even know how old he is. But
I'm 17.
You know, you're 17 years old. You're not a member of the military. First of all, you're not
17.
A member of the military. If you were a member of the military, you would be arrested, you'd be charged, and locked up for talking to overthrow the
government. I love my country with all of my heart, and I want to see my son and my son's son live. What am I going to do?
Look at
what
kid,
do you think? What do you think the veterans of the United States have done over the last 100 years fighting for this country?
They should be honored. We should every time we drive by a military cemetery, we should take our hats off and honor them. And that's why President Bush, what's he doing? Not saying John Kerry chickened out.
What?
What is President Bush saying?
Yeah,
about Kerry chickening out.
He said that John. He said,
well, look at the ads that were criticizing John Kerry. President Bush said should be pulled from the TV. You don't like that idea, RC, right?
No, I don't like it. It shows that President Bush. What if we got attacked by Chinese or something? Then what would happen?
I think you're misinformed, your young
man. He's gone yellow.
I wish you were in the military so somebody could. Let's see the light.
Yeah. Mike, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Gene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, I understand this young man's 17, and I served 6 years on a nuclear submarine undergoing, you know, stuff that people can't even imagine.
Well, that's not the same thing.
Yo, Junior, hush up.
But that's not the same thing.
I find it insulting. I find it insulting. A snot-nosed kid who has never served in the military to call himself a veteran and to call himself, even better, a veteran of war.
No, sir.
That's insulting.
I said I'm a veteran of a future war. I didn't say I'm a veteran, but I am sort of a veteran.
Listen, you are not at all a veteran.
Of a future war,
you are
war,
not
yeah.
a member of the military. You never have been a member of the military. You may be someday. But if you start shooting your mouth off like you are now, you won't be for very long.
Okay, but let's talk about you. You're underwater and stuff. What is that about? That's not even fighting.
Wait a minute. Wait a sec. You were in the submarine service, Gene?
Yes, I was.
My brother was on the SS Barb. What was your boat?
I was on the Skipjack, 585.
Okay, so this takes a great deal of stamina, doesn't it? And discipline to live underwater sometimes months at a time, right?
They put you on 18-hour days, and sometimes it'll be 48 hours before your eyes close.
You know what? You guys are talking about something that's pretty far out there. Yeah, let's go underwater for 6 months. What's that all about?
That's about protecting your country, okay?
Being underwater and playing like I'm Lloyd Bridges? I want to be...
Yo, R.C., you know what the survivability of a ballistic missile submarine once it launches its first missile is? Its survivability is about 15 minutes. Every single man on that submarine knows it. Every single man is ready to die.
Okay. So you rode around in a big tin wiener looking for tuna.
A big tin hold on for a minute, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Riding in a submarine's a big tin wiener, huh? Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You're in a factory now?
Yeah, Father sent for me back in May, right after my junior year, and I'm going back. I'll go back to Bradley probably in about 2 weeks.
So you're working for your father right now in his business?
Yeah, father has a bottling business. He has got a manufacturing plant. And the decision for me is basically, do I work for father when I graduate, or do I help my country? And I do want to help my country. There's no doubt about it. Also, father has, you know, made it pretty clear that I do want to be a part of his business. So,
you just talked to the young man who that veteran who'd been in a submarine. You said he's floating around in a big tin wiener, but you're in a military academy.
Let's get something, if we could, Mr. Henry, straight. I do go to a military academy, but that's way more than what you do. And also,
But maybe it is, and I'm not even going to debate that with you. But to say some guy who's in the submarine service, which the subs, that's one of the craziest duties a guy could possibly have in the military, floating around in a big tin wiener dismisses everything that man's about.
But what do they do? All they do is...
They're part of the defensive perimeter of this country. They're part of the last line of defense for this country. If everything else fails, all we have left are the subs that are out there in the water with their missiles.
It's a lot of science fiction. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. This young man is a military cadet who believes that President Bush, quote, chickened out today when he said that he's not supporting those anti-Kerry ads. Let's go to Jose. Jose, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. Good evening.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple of opinions, and I'll try to keep the language clean enough for it to be used on the air. First of all, it's not an old little brat that doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground, who probably doesn't even know which end of the rifle he looks at, is giving opinions about what the American public thinks, what the military is all about, and he doesn't have enough brains in his head to blow his own nose.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about you snot-nosed little punk. If you knew anything about the military,
about
or you knew anything about the government of the United States, or you had any brains at all, you'd speak in a different tone. You'd speak with some respect about our commander-in-chief and a president of the United States.
But you're checking out.
You got opinions of everybody in the United States. Well, it seemed to me that the majority of the people in the United States put that man in office. And a little punk like you that doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground should not even be allowed on the air.
Okay, are you all done? Do you need to lie down?
Well, that's
because
enough for you to think about, because if you can't understand that, maybe somebody ought to talk to you on a one-to-one basis.
Well, I got a few things to say. Maybe you ought to lie down for them.
Good, you can say them, because I don't know
all
why
right.
The hell he's got you on the air. You're so stupid and ignorant that it's pathetic.
Well, all you've done is call me names, and I've made points about submarines being big tin wieners, and the fact that the president chickened out about Kerry, and the fact that the military has to have faith in what you're talking about.
You haven't got enough common sense to even know what you're talking about.
You sound like you're on helium. You do. So, are you talking through one of those fake phones?
I'm sure as hell glad that we got some people in the military to defend our country in the future that ain't an idiot like you.
Can I tell? This
Thanks,
is
Thanks, Bill Henry, for your time on your air.
Hey, this is what President Bush sounded like today.
You don't even know what President Bush means. Bill,
thank you, Jose. Thank you. You've got some veterans calling and angry, and I want you to speak with more respect about individuals in the service, whether or not you understand what it is they do, whether in the submarine service or anything else.
Sir, I do not I'm not disloyal at all to the submarine service. I think that.
Well, you just said there are a bunch of guys sitting in big tin wieners, and what do they do?
Understand what they do.
They are the last line of defense. They patrol the waters of the ocean of the world. They are there spotting. They first of all have enough radar to spot any launch of any missile anywhere in the world. They also carry missiles of their own. They're the last line of defense for this country, and they also do a great deal of patrolling the defensive perimeter for our country.
The guys that are the ones that they made every movie about are the guys that are on the land. So, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, man. 1-800-449-8686. Well, hey, they made all the movies about guys that are on dry land. Carlos, go ahead.
Oh, let me tell this cadet, soon-to-be officer of the United States Army, so-called, that you are so disloyal to your country, young man, you don't have the right to what you're saying on national radio. You need to keep your mouth shut and not even say anything. You're not even an officer.
Are you in the submarine service? Then you don't know what you're talking about either.
Let me finish something, young man. Let me tell you something. I got soldiers that work for me that got more discipline than you and are more loyal to this country than you ever will. You need to go ahead and pack your bags and go join the Cuban army. Okay?
Cuban?
Want to be supported of Castro, go ahead and do so. This is the greatest country in the world. We're always going to be number one. We do not need people like you in this country.
Okay, I'd like
what
to say
to
Mr. You don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I am in the military.
You're in the Cuban army. You just said you're in the Cuban army.
No, he didn't say that.
Part of the army are you in?
You know what? It doesn't really matter.
I bet you're in the Argentine army or something.
Let me tell you something. I came to the country when I was 17 years old. I'm so proud of being an American soldier. I became a citizen of this country in 1995. And
hey, Carlos, you're pretty angry. You're pretty mad for a guy who just learned that the letter A is a big teepee with a line
through
it.
It doesn't matter. You are garbage, young man. You are garbage. You do not need to join our armed
forces. Why are you making fun of
this
man's accent?
Oh, why don't you drop and give me 20? Guys like you give me a pain. Every time.
Why don't you have some respect? You're in a military academy. You're not in the military.
This guy said he's in the Cuban military or something, didn't he?
No.
I want you to go join the Cuban military or the Taliban. Why don't you go be in like Mr. Johnny Jihad? That's what you should do. You're a traitor. You're disrespecting our country.
All right, I didn't need that.
Well, he's typing my jaws.
1-800-449-8686. That guy sounded a little over the top, didn't he? He's in the army?
No, he said he was in the Cuban army.
No, he did not. He said he was in the army. He said, you ought to join the Cuban army. He didn't say he was in the Cuban army.
I don't know what he said specifically, sir, but I will tell you this. I'm not here to get spoken to in a disrespectful way. I haven't spoke to disrespectfully of anybody.
Well, you just said the president's chickening out.
You almost said the chicken's presidenting out. You almost said that, didn't you? Didn't you, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry, did you?
Yes, I heard. Yes, I almost said that. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the disrespect has initially, and for the most part, come from you. Paul, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, it's unbelievable. And I'm absolutely certain that this guy is neither 17, and he sounds like a Michael Jackson soundalike. But there's two questions you could ask him to find
out if he's really
a military cadet.
You know what?
Because every military school in this country has someone who runs it.
What is that
and they're
siren?
All called by the same rank.
Hold on, Paul. What is that sound or siren? RC?
That's on RC side. It's probably a payphone.
No, sir. It's a factory siren. I'm at one of my father's plants in San Leandro, California right now. It's one of the shift sirens.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead, Paul.
All right, there's two things that every cadet and every military school in this country would know. Two things, very simply, is what the leader of the military academy is called. They all have the same rank.
Yeah, he's the commandant.
Okay, that's one.
Oh, that was real hard.
I mean, what
are you kidding?
Are you kidding or what? Okay, and second, when you are brand new into a military school, what rank do you have?
Cadet.
Wrong. Try again. What do they call you?
What school do you run? Are you a commandant or something?
What do they call you? What is your first year in school? What do they call you?
They called me cadet.
Yeah. Sorry. Commandant was easy.
Oh, okay. Well,
Mr. Henry?
Gee, I'm sorry, Paul, that I'm not a member of your military academy, but I'm at the Bradley Military Academy.
All right. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, every first year student in the military academy, they may be called cadet by school. That's not what the seniors call you. What do the seniors call you?
Oh, they called me puke. You didn't tell me what you said the seniors.
Yeah, they're all knobs.
They called me puke.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also...
Mr. Henry, do you really believe this guy is 17 or in any military academy?
When you were a military academy, what'd they call you, ensign?
No, they call you knobs, but that's neither here nor there.
You know
obviously, you obviously have a tremendous affinity for phallic symbols, talking about a big metal wiener. You know, I don't think you're ever going to make it into the military, because if this is the way you talk around the other cadets,
yeah,
you know, if I were you, I'd up my insurance policy. That's all I've got to say. And to all the veterans out there, guys, don't get your blood boiling about this guy. He's a complete fake. He'll never make it past his freshman year.
Well, you know what?
That's all I have to say.
Take care of your chapped. Yeah, take care of your chapped hands. See, he was laughing about that.
What is with that siren, man?
It's a shift change.
What, are they changing shifts every 3 minutes? There's a siren going off every 3 minutes. There's a shift change. Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Bob, yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. First of all, I want to tell this young man that I'm a retired Marine Master Sergeant, 25 years active service.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, yeah, here we go. And I'm not going to lose my temper, but I heard you last week demanding that everybody bow down to you because you're in uniform. And I heard you this week shooting your mouth off over something you know nothing about.
I was just talking about the Ashley Simpsons.
You've got to watch your language there, Bob, okay? Did we dump him? Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but we couldn't continue with Robert there, but he did let out with a word.
Well, it wasn't a bad word at all. All he said was...
And you can't say it either. R.C. Collins, who... I do want to apologize to the members of the military. You don't, members of our submarine service for the United States Navy, no, you do not ride around in big tin wieners. You guys do a very important job for our country. And President Bush, I think, made the right move today by disavowing those ads. He doesn't want to be a part of any kind of a campaign of defamation. And what is that?
Well, that's the suction sound you're making from sucking all that.
One 800 449 8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show tonight. Don't forget the Tim Robbins Report. Hollywood actor, movie star, film legend Tim Robbins on some interesting information he got while getting a facial with Michael Moore and Mike Farrell. Apparently, not only did John Kerry serve admirably in Vietnam, he could have won the entire war single-handedly had he been allowed to drop that load of napalm he had in that B-52 bomber that day until Nixon pulled him out because Nixon found out he was a Democrat. How do you like that? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I have a Robert Greene flashback, and I'd like you to go to our website tonight at www.philhenryshow.com. There's two things that need your input, and you'll see what I'm talking about when you go to our website tonight. www.philhenryshow.com. Two specific things that need your input. Now we have Robert Greene with us, the CEO of Fraser Foods. He read recently that the governor of New Jersey was involved in a sex scandal, vis-a-vis a sort of a gay sex scandal, and Mr. Greene is an old-fashioned guy. He doesn't understand why it is he can't comment on how nice a woman's rear end looks in a tight skirt, and yet two dudes, as he puts it, can go out together. Here's Mr. Robert Greene, CEO of Fraser Foods. By the way, their food is terrible.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The only thing that you don't seem to be able to comprehend, that you can't treat women as substandard citizens making comments, sexual innuendos.
Right, okay, but and yet you accept that two dudes get to go antiquing together.
Do you have anything else that you can harp on rather than two dudes riding a bike or going antiquing or going to the beach? That's not even the issue.
Well, ma'am,
the issue is that you cannot accept that women are equal to you, and that you can't make sexual innuendos without getting some butt.
I accept that. I accept everything you that we live in a time where I may not say these things, and yet two dudes are allowed to, you know, sit under a parasol together and listen to a band in an open air, you know, in an open air pool.
But as the other lady said, that is consensual. These two individuals have agreed to their lifestyle.
And think about this.
Whether you agree to it, whether you agree to their choices or not, they are in agreement.
Well, that's true, Betty. And think about this. Here's proof that you have more rights than me. I don't get to take a week out of each month and be a total sow and blame it on a menstrual cycle. Ah!
Oh, you are
yeah.
ignorant. Person that I have.
Oh, come on!
Don't you know that a woman gave birth to you, ma'am?
Ma'am, all I know is there's two dudes out there walking through an antique.
Oh, will you shut up?
You know what? You know, for a man that's supposed to be intelligent, you have a very limited intellectual span, and that's all I've got.
Well, I didn't say I was intelligent. I just said I was rich.
Oh, my. Well, take your money and buy you some good common sense, okay? That's my advice to you. Have a good night.
Betty, you're shouting an awful lot. Is Aunt Flo there?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I didn't get that. What did that mean, is Aunt Flo there? Why did I say that? Tell me the relevance of that. Who's Aunt Flo? We don't know. Oh, from the TV show?
No, it's the womanly thing.
Oh, Aunt Flo. Gotcha. I thought I was thinking of that show, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Or it was just called Alice on TV because of Flo and that Kiss My Grits thing, which thank God that show went off the air. Because there was a period of time, it was a brief period of time, but it was one that was painful nonetheless, where I would walk, I literally was drifting through a universe where people thought Kiss My Grits was just high comedy. And there was a, you don't know, if you're younger and you weren't around during those shows, count your blessings. That you weren't drifting through a universe, you weren't drifting through a cultural void in a world where people were just, kiss my grits! Wow! Same thing with that Flip Wilson and that Sock It To Me and that Here Come the... Do you remember all of that? When I was a kid, I thought, oh my God, does it get any lamer? Does it get any just stranger? And yet, all the adults thought that was just, hoo-hoo-hoo! Here comes the judge, and what is it, Sock It To Me? Flip Wilson, I know he's rich, and that's good enough. That he's gone is really the most important thing I think we can say at this. Oh, you mean he's dead? I really liked him a lot. I think he wasn't appreciated in his lifetime. 1-800-449-8666. Hey, look, there's John Madden. Boy, he doesn't look healthy. I got to tell you, he looks like he's heart attack ready. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8666. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, for a couple of things we need your input on. One of them is a show called Crossballs. Have you heard about this television show? And this show is such a blatant lift of what I do that it's shameless, and therefore it has to not care. In other words, yeah, sure, we stole the entire concept of the Phil Hendry radio show, and we've decided to put it on television and not even credit really the originator of this idea that one can sort of fish around for the gullible, active audience member to entertain the larger group of listeners. And what I'm talking about is, you know how we do our show, and I do character voices, so on and so forth, people call, and that's all fun. Anyway, Crossballs is a TV version of what we do. It has panelists who are actually actors and comedians, or so they think, and they engage real experts who are unaware that they're talking with comedians, and there's a studio audience that's brought in who is unaware, or they are unaware, that they're looking at comedians debating instead of real experts. And this is, without question, a lift of what we do on our show for two reasons. Number one, there hasn't been a moment's peace since I got to Los Angeles in 1996 from the television business. They have called repeatedly wanting to get into bed somehow with our radio show. How can they put what we do on the radio on the TV? And I've often said to them, there isn't any way because this is a pure radio show. But they really love the concept. They think it's oh so funny. And so, hey, what they did is they hit upon this idea. Why don't we just steal what Henry does? We'll put it to the hands of other people and we'll do a version of it on TV. Now, here's what I mean about the actual theft. I went to Comedy Central in 1998 with two guys, Dave Herman and Mike Short. And we had the idea for a TV version of what I do on the radio, which is basically present news stories that aren't really news stories, hook in real people to comment on these bogus news stories, and it's just sort of a broadening of what we do on the radio. And they didn't get it at the time. In fact, television, if you went to anybody, any of the geniuses that run the TV business with what we do in radio and pitched them without any foreknowledge of our radio show, they wouldn't get it, and they'd probably say, well, it sounds pretty far out. We're going to go with, whatever the hell the new guy is. Tracy, what's his ass? Morgan. We're going to do another scene of Tracy Morgan. Okay. We're bringing John Larroquette back. He's so funny. So anyway, not to denigrate Mr. Larroquette, although I did see him an odd couple out here on the West Side not too long ago. Oh, God, was it bad. No, he was fine. Anyway, so now this show Crossballs. And I look at this. I got emailed by about three or four people over the weekend. I said, you got to be kidding me. No, can you believe this? This is exactly to some, with gradations on either side, what we had talked to Comedy Central about in 98. And it's precisely what I do on the radio. And it is also exactly what they do in television, which is, I got a great idea. It's someone else's idea. Let's put it on the TV, and we'll do this, and we'll do that with it. And the host of the show, he looks like, now, I haven't exactly specifically heard the guy, but he looks like the kind of character I play on my show, sort of a guy wanting to be a decent moderator, but ultimately getting flustered and flummoxed by what's going on. So what we did is, what I did specifically, I put a note to my listeners on our website with a link to Comedy Central's Contact Us page, I guess is what it is. And I think that it is fair for those of you who've been with me for many, 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 many years, and there's millions, and know this show and appreciate it, and you know the changes, and you know that the evolution the show's been through, and I think that you would resent as much as me this crass theft of our original concept and the original presentation of our radio show, this crass theft of it by the, television business. And I speak specifically, like I say, to the people who have been with me for many years, some of you going back all the way to the origins of the show in the summer of 1990, that you contact Comedy Central, and don't be rude. You simply say to them, you guys are so transparent, we get it, we know what you're doing, and it's, you've been spotted, and you've been caught, and we've taken note, you are rather unoriginal people operating in a creative void, which is the way that I put it in this note on my website. And I suppose the program is okay. I mean, if they are trying to execute what we do and they do it anywhere near as successfully, it's probably okay. And I don't want to be a part of that show. But if anything happens in television that is a crass theft of what we do on our radio show, I should not only should I be a part of it, I ought to be the executive producer of it. I ought to get the creative credit for it and the writing credit for it and everything else. Now, I don't know if I've got grounds to sue. I've been to Comedy Central. I talked to them about this kind of thing back in 1998, and I forget who the woman was that was running the programming at that time, but I know she was pregnant when we were talking to her, so she wasn't feeling too good. Or maybe it was just the idea that we were pitching her that didn't sound too good, but suddenly it does. I don't know. I don't know who it was. Maybe I can. I don't know. But it's not about suing. It's simply about making as public as I can the copyright, if you will, the sort of understood patent that I have on this kind of presentation. And anytime anybody tries to, in a very heavy-handed way, tries to lift it, I got to point it out. I just have to say, hey, you guys are doing this, and I started this particular idea, and I want you guys to know that I see that you're doing it. And I'm not going to let a day pass, and I won't let an opportunity pass. Every time, I don't care, man. There's all kinds of stuff on TV that's great. Well, I say all kinds of stuff. I'm being generous. But this, you know, History Channel is, I'm watching Monday Night Football right now. This is Monday night, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff on TV that's fine, and all of it is, you know, God bless you. But the minute anybody tries to bring to the television a radio show that is acknowledged in the industry as probably the most original ever to come along, and because of that, they try to apply it to their medium of TV without giving me full credit, I'm going to say something about it. I don't care if there's no claim that Comedy Central can make. There is no claim that they can make that this was originally their idea that I'm going to buy. It just isn't, because it doesn't exist. I don't care if they say, we thought of this back in 1982. Uh-huh. So, well, how come it took you until 2004 to put it on the air? Coincidental, don't you think? Thank you. Also on our homepage, you can see Brett Favre's autographed picture that he gave to Coach Vernon Dozier. All right. Plus, we have a poll that we're conducting. Which of Phil's characters would you most like to meet? Now, let me tell you why we're doing this. This is going to be exciting, and it will involve your involvement, not just as voters in the poll, but also when we eventually apply the information that we are gathering, when we eventually apply that, when we work it into our plans, which is something that you will also be involved in. So it's an exciting period here in the late summer months of, God, they said late summer. Is summer almost gone? Bummer. Wasn't that a Doors song? You've been playing all that Doors off the air, man. Grab me that. I think that's on Waiting for the Sun. Anyway, I don't know if I should announce the poll. And I don't want to announce the poll results yet because I don't want to influence the voting, but it's pretty interesting the way the voting has been going. But it's going to involve something that you guys will be invited to, and we'll let you know what it is when we get good and ready. All right, tonight, The Tim Robbins Report with Hollywood film star and sometime Franklin Roosevelt sound-alike Tim Robbins. And also we have Harvey Wireman senior chat, Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts, and man who operates a very strange pen and pencil business. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat.
How lucky can one guy be?
With your host, Harvey Wireman, retired attorney at law and former Marine Corps guy.
Ain't that a kick?
You mean former Marine Corps guy?
I'm sorry, Mr. Wireman.
Why don't you read the credentials? The cue cards properly. What a sack of dung.
Like the sailors.
Sorry, sir.
Ain't that a whole...
Good evening. My name is Harvey Wireman, and I'm the host here of Senior Chat, and welcome to the program. And tonight's question will be, how far have you dragged a human being under your car without knowing it? Now, Bill, was the prize this week the Aberdeen golf package for two?
That's this week. Last week was the Banff trip.
Oh, okay. Bill, just to see, I screwed the dog on this thing because I thought it was last week the winner of the how many bus stops have you driven over loaded with people while in a diabetic coma contest, and that the prize was a trip to the high school band competition finals in Banff, British Columbia. But this week it's the...
This week's the Aberdeen Creek.
All right, this week is Aberdeen Creek, golf package for two, a lovely 18-hole course out there in the middle of Death Valley, where there isn't water spigots for miles, but you go out and you think you're going to have a good time until you realize that you're going to die. It's 150 degrees, and that's why we send old people out to the desert, not for you to relax, but for you to slowly wither and die quickly. So tonight on Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat, you'll win if you win the competition.
you'll win the golf package for two at Aberdeen Creek, which includes a massage and a rub down. Sorry, I got another cheese ball in my throat. Can I? I don't want to have any more of that bri or whatever that fag stuff. All right,
sir, I'll get another.
Thank you. All right, so the golf package, you'll get a full rub down, top to bottom, and you'll also, your wife can enjoy shopping at the various shops. They've got an Indian village there and something. All right, let's go to our telephone calls. The question tonight on Senior Chat, how far have you dragged a human being under your car without knowing it? Let's go to, this is Stan. Hello, Stan. How are you? And welcome to Senior Chat.
Hello, Harvey. How are you?
Great.
God bless you every year or however often I listen.
You don't listen nightly? You listen yearly?
Yeah, I guess I do. I haven't heard you since last year. When was it? Yeah, I only tuned in once before, and that was last year. So.
All right, well, you should get in the habit of listening every night. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's a great idea. I'm so sorry.
But listening once a year isn't going to help me at all with the listeners. And all right, so I forgot what the question is.
How far have you dragged a man under your car without knowing it?
Yeah.
All right, now let me tell you what. About 2 weeks ago, I got home, and I saw 2 feet sticking out from underneath the rear. I said, holy Jesus. And I got my wife. She said, well, I'll be dipped, re-dipped, tarred, feathered, and sheened to a high gloss. That's a human being. And I said,
how about that, huh?
Can you believe that? And I said, well, okay, let's think about this.
Now, how far do you think you dragged the man?
Well, I said to my wife, let's think about this. We left Lucy's, which is they had the early bird there. Then I went on. It had to be a quarter of a mile, and I'll tell you why.
A quarter of a mile?
That's right, and I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God. A whole quarter, that's a hell of a deal.
Well, I'll tell you why. Charlie's, which is where they have that wonderful French onion soup, is a quarter of a mile from my home, and that's where I stopped off and said to my wife, well, let's go get some takeout. And she said, sweet living Jesus, that's a great idea. Well, I thought a speed bump, you know. And then Charlie calls here, who's the owner of the place, says, have you seen my busboy? And I said, why on earth? And then I said, hold on for a minute. I went, well, I'll be a son of a bee, you know the word I want to use.
Yeah, you bet I do.
Okay. I said, he's caught under my right rear wheel well. So there you go.
A quarter of a mile, you dragged a busboy from Charlie's, huh?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
All right. Now, you hold on the line, Stan, because I've got Gloria who's going to come on. This is great, isn't it? And you thought it was a speed bump.
Yeah, I did.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I think that's why so many of people get dragged under car. And it's just not the seniors that are doing it either.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. You're absolutely... Everybody drags people under cars. So... This idea.
Yeah, we always take the heat. Just because I drive my car into the boys' section of May Company, and I got out and I said, do you take MasterCard? Because I realized I'd made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, she said, and she fainted, and the police were called. Everybody does that.
Everyone does, yeah.
All right, now you hold on. Now, that's a quarter of a mile. So there's, what was his name?
Stan.
What is that?
Stan.
That was Stan.
Yeah, the guy you just talked to?
Yes.
It's Stan.
All right, that's Stan. Now let's go to...
Gloria.
Let's go to Gloria. And she's on line...
Three.
And she's...
Gloria.
Gloria. And she's...
On line three.
All right. Let's go over to...
Line three.
Line three.
For Gloria.
For Gloria. Here we go. Hello?
Gloria.
Gloria.
Oh, is this Harvey?
Yes, it is, dear. How are you?
Oh... I love everything you do. I listen. Oh! Oh! Every night I listen. And I can't tell you how much...
Well, thank you, dear. Now, I've got Stan holding...
I heard his story. You know something, that's not his fault. They always have the speed bumps.
Don't they, though? Don't you know they always have the speed bumps?
Always do. And you hit a man, you drag him and mutilate him, and someone says, oh, you... I said, I thought it was a speed bump. And
the other thing, I ran over a valet at the hotel here the other day, and I thought it was a parking brick. And then they say there's a man caught in the fan belt of your alternator. And I said, well, no, you're kidding. And they said, no. I said, well, see, that's what you get for...
Oh, the parking brick.
Yeah, the parking brick. All right, dear. So tonight's question, how far have you drug a man under the wheels? Under the wheels.
Of your car.
Of your car before you...
Discovered. That there was a man there.
That there was a man there.
I know what I'm saying. You know, well, you're forgetting everything.
All right.
Well, my husband wanted me to call you. And this is really fun. I left my daughter-in-law's home at about 3 p.m. on Sunday. We were coming back from Santa Barbara. So, and I remember saying to my granddaughter, I said, I want to go in the car, and I want to get your doll that we had purchased over here at Yardley's, you know, in the mall.
Yes.
All right. We got home that night. My daughter-in-law and my granddaughter are both caught in the oil pan. Bob, the son of a gun, had forgotten that he had hit them and run them over and was supposed to call an ambulance, but instead floored it and took off.
Well, why did...
Well, he does that. He's always getting into trouble. He's always flooring and taking off.
So you ran over your own daughter and...
And granddaughter.
And dragged them how far?
It had to be 15 miles. And,
Don't want to look like I didn't have the phone.
Here's Bob now.
Okay, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Harvey, look it. I looked at it. I said, I didn't know they made sweet potatoes that big. She said, you big idiot. That's your daughter and granddaughter.
Can you believe that, Harvey?
Well, how about that? And
oh, yeah, and it was...
And one other thing. Now, what do we win this week? Because I listened last week, G.D., and I didn't get the prize. And,
Well, this week it's the Aberdeen ski trip. All right, so hold on. I want to get Stan. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. That beats the living. That beats seven shades of crap out of mine. It sure does.
Well, I guess you win, Bob and Gloria. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Gloria. We won.
Oh, isn't that nice? I gotta go scrub these underwear. I gotta scrub the underwear.
All right. She ruined her underwear when we dragged the granddaughter. But
all right. Well, you're the winner today on Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat of the Golf Package for Two, which includes the early bird onion soup, and you'll also get your choice, the ice cream cup or the hot buttered bun.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Well, congratulations, and we'll see you all next week on Senior Chat. Next week's question... is
how far have you dragged
a relative
under a golf cart.
That's right. Okay, see you next week, everyone.
God, I can't believe I won.
The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
I hugged her and she hugged me.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, my God, the music's still on. We didn't turn the music off. Bud, how could you?
I kind of like it.
Turn that stuff off!
Thanks. All through the break, that was his plan, although I didn't hear it because generally, as we say in the studio, the monitors were off. So we can't hear anything other than the commercials through the headphones of my engineer, Mark Newman. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Tomorrow night, it's going to be the Margaret Gray Political Report, or Political Campaign 2004, I should say. It's our election coverage is what it is. And then Wednesday night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. On Thursday night, Who's on Thursday? Oh, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. And then on Friday night, it's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And later on tonight, don't miss, we keep saying we're going to have Tim Robbins on, and we never do. But we will tonight, definitely. He has told me he'll be on. The Tim Robbins Report makes its reappearance on our show later tonight, along with some Olympic coverage. And looking at just the news of the day, The Exorcist, The Beginning, $18 million at the box office. Oh, my God, haven't we gotten over that movie? The Exorcist? Is that scaring anybody anymore? You know, there's only so often you can watch that movie and be scared and then realize, you know, wait a minute, man, her head's turning around on a doll's body. The whole thing is just poo-poo. So this is the beginning. Apparently, Father Marin goes to Africa and he exorcises some native tribal leader or something, and this is where he hooks up with the devil. The Exorcist is so bloody 70s, it's remember the original? He was in, although the original actually had a slice of things to come, he found the devil in Iraq. Remember that? In the 1973, the opening to The Exorcist, he's in Iraq when he uncovers that archaeological dig and he uncovers that little demon idol, that small little demon talisman. And it's in Iraq, as I recall. And then the demon crosses the water to Washington, D.C. Oh, my God, was Blatty, was that guy prescient or what? That cat was all over it, man. What did I call him, Blatty or Gotti? Blatty. Wasn't it John Blatty and William Peter Gotti? Dig that. I just thought about that. The Exorcist was about Iraq, and then he comes to Washington, and that was 1973. Hey, Moore, make a movie about that. Now there is your conspiracy, you tub of lard. Man, there you go. There's your movie, you jive mother. We're talking about The Exorcist. He's in Iraq. And he go,
yeah, we got it, we got it.
Well, I think it was a pretty good idea. Now, The Exorcist is the beginning. The seemingly cursed production, which went through three directors, several casting changes, and nearly two entire shoots before finally hitting theaters this weekend, was excoriated by critics who had to wait until Friday to review the flick because Warner Brothers decided not to hold preview screenings. A lot of these, if it's no big thing, but it's kind of interesting to note that many of these studios are no longer holding preview screenings for writers, for reviewers, because it's like saying, hey, come on in early and rip our movie so that before the audience even sees it, you've crapped all over it a deep, dark, rich brown. Gee, that, you know, why wouldn't we want you to do that? So the cat, you know, what they're basically saying is, no, we don't think we're going to give you that opportunity. And the film reviewers are, I suppose, understandably or not so understandably, just, you know, depending upon which side of the fence you're on, they're upset. But if you make a movie and a guy comes in, and these cats that write the film reviews, who knows where they are? Well, you don't go to school for that. I mean, what are their credentials, right? You can either agree with them or disagree with them. That's what I just lisped.
Queer.
I just went like this. You can either disagree with them or not. One of these nights I'm going to come in, I'm going to lisp through the whole show. Tomorrow night, tune in. The whole show I'll be lisping. Good evening. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Listen, I thought what we talk about. I was at a restaurant one night and a guy was whistling. Have you ever heard people who talk, say, Bob, Susie, yeah, it was every time he said an S, it would, and I was eating Chinese food, and I've never had the urge to sink two chopsticks into a man's eyes as deeply as this guy who was behind me with the Susie says. Oh. So what they do is they review their movies, and maybe they got a bad seat at a preview before, maybe they got snubbed at a party, maybe who knows what happens, but then they go, they rip a movie, and then it says, you know, big bold print, you know, Billy Madison, not a good movie. Now, how could anyone say that, right? And so they don't want these guys at their premieres and their previews laying out all that rich food and champagne and everything for some guy that's going to go back to the Daily Bugle and say that, hey, The Exorcist, it smelled like a big goat turd. Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for drinking all of our free booze, too.
Well, it just shows that I can't be bought.
No, you can't be bought, but anything for free, dude, you're right there, huh? So they didn't want anybody there, and it seemed like a smart tactic. The Ebert set ripped the Rennie Harlan-directed film for its cheesy effects and cheap scares. But because the thumbs down came late, it took a day for audiences to catch on. The R-rated film, starring Stellan Skarsgård as the young Father Marin as he first faces down the demon who eventually made Linda Blair spit up pea soup and spin her head around in the 1977 class. Everybody says she spit up pea soup. It looked more like guacamole to me. When she turns her head and all that roar, that stuff comes out, it doesn't look like pea soup and it doesn't look like guacamole, but it sure looks like Sunday morning. Doesn't it? Same thing coming out of one of your orifices, and I don't want to mention, but it might as well be napalm. Thank you. All right, anyway, Stellan Skarsgård, if you guys don't know who that guy was, he was in a movie called Good Will Hunting. He played a teacher in that movie, and you don't know? Okay, never mind.
No, it didn't ring a bell.
All right. then forget it. It made $18 million. It's a far cry from the $40 million the prequels producer said he needed on opening weekend for the budget-bursting movie to break in. Look, dude, let me tell you why The Exorcist is not happening, because it's like 1970s, that ghosts and demons. Look, we're into fantasy now. We've transcended traditional religion. We're not afraid of the Christian created demon anymore, man. We're afraid of Gollum. We're afraid of little hobbits that used to be and put on the ring, and now they look like a cross between one of those Ethiopian orphans, and some guy that hasn't been in the sun for a while. I mean, that little Gollum dude. You imagine that guy creeping out from behind a rock on you? I'm more afraid of him than any Linda Blair you could possibly imagine. Any pea soup you want to cough up, man, don't even compare to that Gollum dude. That, what's his name, Smeagol? Well, that's what we're about now. We're in the We are dealing with the very survival of the culture with Al-Qaeda. That's the real demon. We've met the devil, baby. We know what the devil really looks like. It ain't about pea soup, and it ain't about head spinning around, man. The guy wears a big, long beard, carries an AK-47, and he walks the hillside as if he's tending goats. He's all messed up, man. Yeah, he's dead. He's all messed up. That's the demon. And where do we go to escape him? We're going to go visit Bilbo freaking Baggins, Jim. We're out there doing battle with Gondor. Is that movie rock or what? Did you see Return of the King? That flick is one of the greatest movies ever made. It's one of the greatest movies ever made. Yeah, it's got all the special. I'm talking about the story. I'm talking about the beauty of the story. It's the coolest flick ever made. Return of the King. I mean, the two before that were good. This flick is great. Now, yeah, it's all about all that. What the movie's about is about the average man overcoming horrific possibilities in his life. The Hobbit, played by little Elijah Wood, Frodo, takes on the worst possible evil and succeeds. It's about you, it's about me, it's about making it through things we can't even imagine we would make it through, were we to be able to conjure them in our dreams. And yet when we're confronted with them, we find a way to actually defeat them. How about that, huh?
Very inspiring, you queer.
Come here.
Why?
Just come here.
You're going to hurt me.
Come here, I said. There. Call me a queer, huh?
You hurt me.
Yeah. I don't need your comments, man.
Booger.
1-800-449-8686. Coming up, the Tim Robbins Report. Tomorrow night, Margaret Gray, Jay Santos, Wednesday night, Bobby and Steve Dooley on Thursday night, and Ted Bell will be with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills Friday night. And Vernon Dozier, the angry high school football coach, will also make an appearance this week as well. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now Hollywood actor and film legend Tim Robbins joins Phil Hendry in a far-reaching discussion of the day's issues. Here now is Phil Hendry and Tim Robbins. Thank you, me. You're welcome. I'd like to bring on Tim Robbins right now. Mr. Robbins, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
Tim Robbins, the star of so many great movies, one of my favorites, The Player.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like that.
Did you enjoy that movie?
I did. I enjoyed it a lot. Working with Robert Altman was, I guess you could say it's a dream come true for any young actor, as I was at that time. So I truly appreciate what he did for me. I appreciate what Susan Sarandon has done for me and so many others. So it's been a lot of fun.
I liked you in Bull Durham. A lot of stuff you did. Let's talk about what's happening in the world of politics.
Oh boy!
So there's a lot of stuff that's kind of on your mind.
Well, there's a lot. You know, the Bush administration has sunk to some pretty slimy, slime-ridden depths. I mean, they have gone to the bottom of a fetid, stench-ridden, corrosive garbage can in their time. But I don't think they have sunk as low as they are now sinking, trying to cover up what is obvious to any of us. We've known this for a long time. I was talking with Michael Moore, and you mentioned it in your promo, Phil. I was talking to Michael Moore and Mike Farrell. We were out at Two Bunch Palms getting a saliva rub down from, it's Japanese saliva, so it's legitimate.
Okay, a saliva rub down?
Yeah, but it's from Japanese women. So it is definitely legitimate. It's not, you know, sexual or anything.
No, I know Two Bunch Palms is a great place. I didn't know they did saliva rub downs.
Well, they don't, but we brought the women. I mean, you know, Mike brought them. Michael, one of the two Mikes, brought them in from outside. Anyway, what we were doing, so they're rubbing us down with their spit, and I said to Moore, I go, okay, when's the movie coming out? He said, tell me about it. I can't get funding. And I said,
well, what movie?
So you didn't hear either?
No.
Let me tell you something. The fact that Kerry was in a B-52 bomber over Hanoi ready to drop a load of napalm that would have cooked that country eight times over, and he was called off at the last minute by Nixon because he was a Democrat, has finally broken. The story has broken. The L.A. Times will have it tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
All right, Phil, we know that your sympathies lie with President Bush.
No, but I'm a Democrat, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Well, no, but just tell me again.
You didn't hear about it.
No, I didn't hear about it.
Kerry was winning the war, single-handedly.
John
Kerry was winning the war. Yeah, you didn't hear. He got over to Vietnam. He said, look, he checked his Timex. He said, I got 4 months. What do you need? And they said, well, we got a war to win. He said, leave it to me. He jumped in a bomber, flew to North Vietnam, had napalm. He was ready to grease every zip in the wire, man. He was ready to go. Nixon, who's in the White House, right?
Yeah.
Finds out that Kerry's a Democrat. Says, I'm not going to let that guy win the war. So he calls off the mission. So Kerry's got to go land the bomber. And they put him on a swift boat, and then he spends the rest of the war playing with himself out in a lagoon someplace. But he could have, you know, been here again. And
so are you telling me that you and Moore talked about this, and Moore's thinking of making a movie about it?
Oh, yeah. Michael's good. As soon as he can get the funding. But Disney won't let him. You know why? Because Walt Disney hated Jews. And so they won't.
But Michael Moore isn't Jewish.
That's the point. That's what I'm talking about. No, Michael Moore isn't Jewish, but all the guys that would give him money are Jewish, and Disney hated Jews, even though Eisner is Jewish. But that's a cover-up. So that happened. The other thing that I think is even, Farrell told me this while they were rolling Farrell over for one more go, and he says, well, you didn't hear. I said, about what? Him and Moore start laughing, right?
Yeah.
He says to me, you didn't hear about it. I said, no, what? He said, apparently Kerry had scaled the wall around Ho Chi Minh's beach house and had crept into his bedroom and was ready to slit his throat from one slanted eye to the other. Guess what?
Kid, now, I just want to be clear here.
Yeah.
Kerry had crawled into Ho Chi Minh's beach house and was going to slit his throat.
You got it.
And the mission got caught?
The mission got called off by Nixon again. He goes, is that guy Kerry again? And Nixon calls it off. See, Nixon didn't want any Democrats to have anything good happen that they did. So he called out. Kerry was ready to napalm all of North Vietnam, so that would have been flattened, okay? That whole thing was a bowling alley. And then he was going to slip. And then the other thing that he was going to do is he'd already gone into China, and he was going to kick Mao Zedong and his Royal American, and all of this stuff called off by Nixon. Now, Moore's making the movie. Mike Farrell is going to play Nixon. And Kerry, of course, they haven't picked who's going to play him. And this is going to be great. I'd like to be in it, of course.
Well, who would you play?
I'd like to play Kerry, but I don't think I look anything like him.
What about Ho Chi Minh?
That part's too small. But I will tell you that when this is in the LA Times tomorrow, and I know Whitey Brown over there is going to have this on the front page, this is going to be splashed all over the front of the LA Times like your dog's diarrhea.
Really?
That's right. It's going to be amazing. And I just wanted you to know.
So you and Michael Moore and Mike Farrell were talking about this while getting a Japanese saliva massage, huh?
Yeah. What do you like? I detect some... You know what, Henry? You're such a smartass.
No. It's fine. It's fine. If you want to believe it...
Oh, if I want to believe it.
Well, I mean, it sounds a little far out to me, okay?
If I want to believe it. Oh, gee, thanks, Daddy. If I want to believe it, okay? Well, you just go off and if you want to... Hey, Henry, there are more things under the sun. There are more things that are alive in this world than you can know about. Now, John Kerry has been slandered and defamed and slathered over and whatever those words are by this guy that wrote the Swift Boat book, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Kerry, what he really did in Vietnam is far, not only did he not only earn the Bronze Stars and the Pro, he did stuff that is, like, beyond anything Audie Murphy ever did, man. I mean,
a bona fide war hero, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. CMH, everything, man. But why don't we know about it? Because the Republicans won't let us know about it because they control the information.
And well, you're talking about it right now.
Yeah, I'm talking about it right now because Moore told me about it. But Moore wasn't going to talk about it because he was afraid of an assassination squad. Bush will kill you if he knows that you're talking about this stuff. So.
You must be in fear for your life, huh?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I am. I got to go. Susan and I are going to a premiere tonight, but after that, I will get some security. Anyway, that's the story. I thought I'd, you know, lay it on you. And
how is Miss Sarandon?
Hey, Susan, how you doing, honey? She's doing good. We just rolled her over. She's getting, you know, it's not the Japanese saliva massage. You doing all right, honey?
Yeah.
She's had a belly full of wine. We've been drinking wine since 11. I'm sorry, Phil.
All right, thank you. Tim Robbins, the Tim Robbins Report. We'll be looking for that in the L.A. Times, that John Kerry could have slit Ho Chi Minh's throat, but Nixon wouldn't let him because he was a Democrat.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it is.
Tim Robbins on the Tim Robbins Report. Thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks, Tim.
Goodbye already.
All right, thanks. I'm sorry. Phil Henry Show will be right back. Coming up, we've got our Olympic report with Jeff Dowder on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
George, you're with the, it's called Nathan?
Nathan Products of Chicago.
Okay, we're on the air right now, George.
All right, very good.
And you, there was an item that was kind of ghastly to read, involved a suicide that I wanted to talk to you about because a member of your company was involved.
Okay. The company that I work for is Nathan Products of Chicago, and to set the record straight, Samantha Breckensdale of Portland, Oregon, she had called our product number by mistake. And
what is the name of your product?
It's called Suicide Prevention Desk Pens and Desk Accessories. And the idea behind our company is to identify a huge portion of the untapped marketplace, which we identified in various focus groups as people who are going to commit suicide. And they're calling 800 numbers every day. And it was our original plan, it was our original marketing plan to access those phone calls, attempt to counsel them out of suicide, and then to...
And then to sell them pen and pencil sets, right?
And then to make available to them our product, right? Because it was originally our marketing plan that we could access these phone calls, these potential suicide cases, and use them as a market base, as a consumer base.
All right, but this lady called your suicide. The name of your company is the Suicide Prevention Desk Pen and Pencil Set and Office Accessories, right?
The name of our company is Suicide Prevention Office Accessories. And
but the number that you have on your website to call is called the Suicide Prevention Hotline.
That is the name of our number. And
you understand that anybody who wants to kill themselves is going to call that number.
No, we are aware of that. What happened was Samantha went ahead and killed herself anyway. Now, that's the downside. What the press doesn't report and what I have attempted to set the record straight on is that she... purchased about $300 worth of office accessories, our Newsday pen and pencil set, also our desk calendar and pen and pencil, and our desk pen calendar set. It was about $300. Also, we have the gold and the laminated pen and pencils as well. And
okay, so she bought a bunch of pen and pencils, but she killed herself.
Well, I have spent the better part of 24 hours talking to newsmen like yourself, trying to tell them that we're really not a suicide prevention hotline. But
do you have suicide prevention counselors available?
We do.
And do they attempt to talk people out of suicide?
Yes, they do. But they are also, first of all, they're not called, you misspeak, they're not called counselors.
But the idea is to lead the consumer on to believe that they're suicide prevention counselors.
They are not suicide prevention counselors. They are suicide prevention account executives, which means that they will speak to you if you want to kill yourself. Certainly, I don't think any human being wants to see another human being take their life. But the primary idea is certainly to help the consumer in any way we can. When Samantha called, we have the recording for calling. And I took the call when John felt that he was overburdened. If you want, we can play it.
I would like to hear this phone call, because what we're talking about is a devastating situation whereby a young woman called the suicide prevention. So now what we're about to hear is what?
What you're going to hear is the recording as it came in.
Suicide prevention?
Hi,
And who am I speaking with?
My name is Samantha Beckinsdale. I want to kill myself.
You want to kill yourself? That's rough. Listen, do you have a desk calendar?
Okay, that's all we have.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you call that counseling?
I most certainly do believe that the account executive who answered the line, and then when I took the call, yeah, I did say to her, I was counseling her. And
the only thing I heard was she said, I want to kill myself, and you said, boy, that's rough. Do you have a desk calendar?
That is correct, yeah.
You call that counseling?
Sir, we are suicide prevention account executives. Now, we have a beautiful pen set. It's a kind of a pen-pencil combo on a mahogany desk base that looks attractive when set on any wood surface desk. And we thought that would cheer her up. And
oh, come on, Mr. Look, Mr. Henderson, if you're...
Mr. Henry, it clearly says...
No, if you're trying to tell me that suicide prevention counseling is saying, hey, I've got a nice mahogany pen and pencil set that'll really look nice on a wood surface, I don't think there's a suicide prevention counselor, any psychology expert, any person who deals with human behavior that would call that any kind of preventative measure. And yet there you are calling yourself... All right, you say you're a suicide prevention account executive.
That's exactly right. And that's why we feel our company can be held in lieu of any legal action. I think that we are not culpable in this case. And
let's listen to the call one more time, because you are claiming that you gave legitimate suicide prevention counseling and only then began to sell her a pen and pencil set.
That when you say pen and pencil set, what I was selling her was the mahogany gold.
Yeah, the mahogany gold. Look at...
Well, there's a specific name for it, and I would, you know, it's a product that a great many people worked on very hard. It is the desk combo gold pen and pencil set.
That looks attractive on a wood surface.
That is correct.
Let's hear the call.
Suicide prevention? Hello, and what can I do for you?
My name is Samantha Beckinsdale, and I want to kill myself.
Well, don't that beat all. Hey, listen, we got a nice eraser set today.
Don't that beat all?
That's correct.
All right, now here's another phone call that was received shortly after that, and I believe you took the call, sir.
I'm not familiar with this.
This is from a gentleman by the name of James Ragsdale.
I'm not familiar with the call.
Well, let's hear this tape recording.
Suicide prevention.
I am a 50-year-old male. My name is James Ragsdale, and I'm holding a razor blade to my wrist right now.
Oh, boy. Hey, we've got a day timer at a glance and a week at a glance set in a black leather embossed folder. If you'd like...
And that's where the call cuts off.
That's correct.
So, I want to be clear. Suicide prevention counseling is... Oh, boy.
All right. If I can't convince you...
I'm just saying that those two people took their lives as a direct result of your company leading them to believe that they had called a suicide prevention hotline, when in point of fact they'd called a company called Suicide Prevention Desk Accessories.
Office accessories.
Office accessories.
Well, look at you. You're getting your underwear all in a bunch over a couple of people who greased themselves.
Who greased themselves?
Well, I don't know what you want from me. And
how do you make money?
By selling our product.
Yeah, but if people kill themselves...
Well, they, what we do is we access a credit card. Certainly we do get, we run the credit check and make sure that, that you know... I guess you're going to say that's bad, too, because we're taking advantage of
it. Yeah, it sounds to me like what you're doing is, say, before you kill yourself, did we have a credit card number?
No, we do not do that.
Well, that's what... As a matter of fact, let's roll another call here. This is a phone call that came in on August the 1st, and this is a gentleman by the name of William Tandle, I think. Do you remember Mr. Tandle?
I get so many calls.
Yeah, uh-huh. Here he is.
So is that prevention?
My name is William Tandle. I've got a loaded shotgun in my mouth. Well, not right now. I can be talking to you, but well, here I am.
Let's go ahead and dump it.
I hear it. I've got a loaded shotgun.
All right, now I believe you.
I want to kill myself. Can you help me?
Well, that's... You know, Ernest Hemingway died that way. But look, before you go, how about our rainbow post-it note set? You know, it comes in a beautiful...
Now, we do have the part of the call where you got his credit card number.
Well, I don't remember.
Well, here it is.
And when does it expire?
07.
You say 07?
Huh.
All right, so that's a Visa credit card number. But
oh, that's all that cut off, but you can hear what I'm saying.
So in other words, a guy can't make a living?
You can make as much of a living as you want, Ace. But with a guy holding a loaded shotgun in his mouth, and there you are asking for an expiration date?
Oh, okay. With credit card fraud at an all-time high, and I'm not allowed to make a living. Well... It's not like they're going to need their money. They're going to kill themselves.
Hey, and why not let all that revolving credit continue, huh? They can still get the interest going on it.
That's the point.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Henderson of the Suicide Prevention Office Accessories Company, for joining us today. Three people took their own lives, but not before they gave you their Visa cards and purchased upwards of $1,000 total in office accessories. How is business?
Well, I'll tell you, it's we're killing. I mean, that's a bad joke. I mean, we're, you know.
Yeah. So the guy, in other words, calls his company Suicide Prevention Office Accessories. People think they're calling a suicide prevention hotline. And though he's been sued, he's claiming before a civil judge that they do give suicide counseling before they sell you their mahogany pen set. And what's their counseling? Ooh, boy. That's rough. 1-800-449-8686. Still to come, Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our show recently was a gentleman by the name of Don Parsley, who had suffered the, or he claimed, suffered the loss of a home in Hurricane Charley. He said at one point it was blown down, then it burned down. Anyway, Charley came on the air and was openly asking for money from people to help him rebuild his home, but he wasn't taking anything less than $50.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'd like to say to this gentleman that's calling in, you know, when you're asking for help, you've got to be a little bit humble. And you don't sound humble at all. You sound like you're greedy. And you say, Lord was bad to you and you've had rough times.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you could afford $300 cash for a house, your times couldn't have been too rough, my friend.
No, well.
And you know, if you had 300 listeners send you in a dollar apiece, you'd have your $300,000. But to actually demand...
Your mathematics is off, sir.
$50,
$300,000.
You're a little bit greedy, my friend, and I think you're...
How's that greedy?
Overboard.
I don't know. How's that greedy?
You know, telling you because I lost my wife with cancer, and I got seriously hurt in a construction accident, and I had a lawyer take me for everything I got. So don't talk to me
about hard times.
Wouldn't you say those are bad times for that gentleman?
Not as bad as mine, no. So what?
He had a lawyer take him for all of his money, and his wife died. At least your wife is still alive.
Well, he said his wife died.
She's dying.
He convicted himself two or three times.
I don't know how. Where did I come to? I said my wife is. I said she's dead because she might as well be dead.
That's all what I meant.
This guy is trying to con somebody because...
I'm not conning anybody, sir.
He's changed his tune too many times over there.
Sir, if you want, I'll let you off the hook if you can send us $40 and a cashier's check.
I wouldn't send you a dime, friend, because you're greedy. If you said, please help, I would have sent something.
All right.
That's the way you're asking for money.
Okay, I'll say it.
Whether you got the wrong attitude, because you're not humble at all.
Sir, I'll say it. Please help.
Goodbye.
Well, you're cheap. You know,
Bill, thank you.
Well, you know, I don't understand why you call people cheap. If you're asking them for money...
Well, this guy calls and gives a song and a dance about his dead wife and all this. I said...
I didn't give you no song and a dance.
Yes, sir.
But you're claiming that you're the only one that's had hard times.
Sir, I'm just saying, I asked for people to call.
You know, there's other people down there that are probably a lot worse than you, and they might have only lost a $20,000 home.
Sir, I'm just saying, when I said call in just to tell me how much money, and you're giving me a speech, so you're violating everything that I said. And
you better check what you're saying.
Let me be
Goodbye.
The host, okay?
Thanks, Phil.
I'll tell you what, I was going to give the guy a special offer.
Hey, we got some guy here in Florida wants everybody to send him $50 a piece of wood to build his house, and he's calling in on the radio. Goodbye and thank you.
Sir. $25, I'll give you a picture of my daughter.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
Now, that's a deal. I mean, that's hard to pass up. That's Don Parsley from a previous show. A little flashback for you on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Still ahead is Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts. Jeff is in Athens, and I don't know if anyone's been watching the Olympics. I can't bring myself to watch the Olympics. I don't know why it is. I have you watched it? Everybody's watching the Olympics. I'm not. I even went down to the liquor store here the other day to get a bottle of Tokay just before the show started, because as you know, I like to just take just two quick blasts of port before I come upstairs. And even the guy down there, a very nice man who's got a turban, even he's checking it out. He's watching the swimming, watching the Americans win it. For some reason, the Olympics have just seeped completely out of my blood. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what went wrong. What's happened to me? Is it cynicism? Is it lack of patriotism? No, I don't think it's that. Do I not trust the Olympic ideal, perhaps? Am I worried that today they win a gold medal and are all sheepish and humble, and tomorrow they're on a Wheaties box, and the next thing you know, they're doing color commentary? And remember Mary Hogshead? She was a swimmer, and her name was Mary Hogshead. And then I think they had her do... Now, it's one thing to have the name Hogshead. It's another thing to be famous with the name Hogshead. And then it's still another thing to try to remain famous with the name Hogshead. So, and now, of course, our color commentator, Mary Hogshead.
He's coming out of the water. Great, Jim. Look at the backstroke. Got to cut through the water. You got to shave the head. You got to get the body hair off. I'd like to reach down in those shorts, make sure that... I don't think he shaved down there. I think that's what's dragging that half second off of his time. All right, here comes the Australian, the Ukrainian. It's,
I got to get out of here. You're bothering me with that name, Hogshead.
All right, well, I'll just continue.
I cannot work with this woman anymore. Come on, Bill. No. You know, it's like, I heard an interview. Anybody remember the name Dwight Stones? Dwight Stones was a high jumper. He was an American high jumper. He was a gold medal winner. He was a terrific athlete. And Dwight gave a very candid interview once. He said, hey, let me tell you what. As soon as I go over that bar and I set the world record, the only thing I'm going to be thinking about is, okay, commercial endorsements. Now, let's see. Where does... Okay, Wheaties... Money, 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 money. And that's cool. Somehow it don't sit good with me, you know? But why do I say that? And that I'm the first guy to say, hey, Christmas, it's commercial. Yes, it's commercial. I like it commercial because that's the way we know it's Christmas. If we hadn't commercialized Christmas, nobody would ever remember that it's damn Christmas. And how else are we supposed to buy toys?
We just go down to the toy store.
Yeah, but does the toy store advertise?
Yeah.
Well, then you're saying that it's commercialized Christmas.
Yeah, but everything, my God, Coca-Cola.
Who doesn't want to see the Santa Claus Coca-Cola ad? The Santa Claus Coca-Cola ad is the greatest ad going, man. Every time you think of Christmas, there's the big fat Santa with a bottle of Coca-Cola. It's been going on for years. See, that, to me, that's Christmas, right? Now, how come I can reconcile that, but as soon as Mary Hogshead or Dwight Stones or whoever starts making a few dollars from their Olympic winnings, I got a problem. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know what it all started going bad for me when we fielded a pro basketball team. Now, I used to be one of the biggest advocates for having the very best athletes, and the very best athletes are the very best athletes. Professional, amateur, I don't care, the best athletes are the best athletes. And then all of a sudden we did, because the Russians were kicking our asses. And they were also beating us in games like in basketball, which they should never beat us in. The Russians, remember that, you guys are too young to remember, but in 1972, they stole the gold medal from us because the referee didn't count a second off the clock and they inbounded the pass and all this stuff. From that day forward, people said, okay, that's it. That's it. We're bringing the NBA guys in. No Ruskie's ever going to win a gold medal. And the next thing you know, the whole freaking Iron Curtain comes down. There's no evil Russians anymore. And there we are winning everything in sight. And I don't dig it. Now I'm out there, I'm rooting for Ukraine. Go China. Go China. Go China. Any country other than my own. I can't wait to see Egypt, how Egypt fares this year in softball. By the way, softball? How about lawn darts? I mean, why not? 1-800-449-8686. Yes, the pride and the glory of Olympic lawn darts. Bill, what are we looking at today? Well, this is going to be something. The grass is green, and look at that. And the darts go up in the air, and she gets it in that circle. There must be a method to it, huh? Sure there is. Yeah, you just keep telling yourself that. All right, we'll be right back with lawn dart competition here from Athens in a moment on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Jeff Downer joins us now from Athens, Greece, and tonight's Olympic report. And Jeff, the American women medaled in softball.
That's right, Phil, here from Athens, Greece. The American women got a gold medal in softball, which is about the lamest gold medal that has ever been given out since I'd have to think about which one, because I can't think about a lamer gold medal in softball. To me, it's lame and wrong, and it has no...
All right, hold on for a minute.
Yeah?
Why do you call that lame and wrong?
About softball?
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, softball has no practical application in the culture. What good are you going to do if you play softball? What surgeries are you going to perform? What are you going to do, okay, that's going to make it better for the world? You know, hey, hi, yeah, I'm a softball player, and so let me just take your appendix out. It ain't going to happen.
Well, what practical application does baseball have in society, or football?
You talk about, like, overhand pitch?
Yeah, hardball.
If you think about baseball, okay, like, if you're mad and you have a piece of paper in your hand, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Okay, and you go, screw it, and you just throw the paper down. Just imagine yourself just... F it, you know, it's F it, you know, just throw it down. That's an overhand motion. That's a natural expression of the human emotion. And
it, what do you mean, F it, and I throw it overhand into a waste paper basket?
What I'm saying is baseball conforms to natural human expression. If you think of...
What about football?
Football, okay, talk about football. You know how the passing motion of football... Like, you know, classic, you know, Joe Montana's overhead. If you're telling a guy, get out of here, you know, just get out of my apartment. Like I told this guy one time, hey, man, get out, you know, I said, get out of here. Okay, my arm is going forward. I'm pointing to the door the same way that Elway, okay, hit Shannon Sharpe for a few of those, you know, some pay dirt. The same way Montana hit Dwight Clark, you know, in the catch. Get out of my apartment is that kind of hand motion.
So you're telling me that football and baseball have practical application,
Because of the arm motion?
Yeah, because of the way it expresses the American sentimentality. And the sediment.
What do you mean the sediment? That's stuff at the bottom of a river.
I mean, yeah. Well, what's sentiment?
That's a feeling.
I thought sediment was a feeling.
No, that's crap that's at the bottom of a river.
Well, if you think about it, man, a lot of times I feel like I'm just crap at the bottom of a river anyway.
And okay, what about basketball?
What about it?
How does that apply to society?
Okay, if you think about basketball, imagine yourself standing at a throw line and you're about to throw up a shot, okay? And you have that nice kind of wrist action. That's the way gay people say goodbye. It's goodbye, goodbye. You know, it's just, if you were making a jump shot with that kind of wrist action, but there's no ball in your hand. That's if you're gay, just go bye, or that's the gay way of saying to get out of here. Okay. So, you know,
what are you drinking tonight, man? Are you back into the Sambuco?
Well, I did.
You did, didn't you?
What's Sambuco?
You know that drink you told me you were having with the coffee beans in the bottom? Are you still sucking on that juice?
I had one.
You had one. Sounds like you had more than one.
I had a couple with dinner.
You told me that was the greatest drink you ever had.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So I'm getting an Olympic report about how gay folks say goodbye the same way a guy shoots a foul shot. Goodbye.
This is Jeff Dowder. Am I done?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, this is Jeff Dowder live at the Olympics on the Phil Henry Show. Go get some Sambuca. Hang on.
Jeff Dowder's Olympic Report. Brought to you by Sambuco. Have yourself a couple and then pretend like you're waving goodbye to someone. Bye!
And by Goodyear Tires. You can roll around the world on Goodyear. By Foamy. Lather up with Foamy and get a close, rich, clean, deep, deserving, succulent shave. And by Chrysler Corporation. Makers of some of the biggest rolling pieces of dung in history. Chrysler. Break down in the desert today.
All right. That's a good line. That's a good ad line for a car company. Chrysler, break down in the desert today. Nothing I like better. How about that Dowder? Is he high or what? Gay folks say goodbye the same way a cat shoots a foul shot. And when you tell a guy to get out of your apartment, it's the same way like throwing it over like Montana to Clark. Get out of here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I was up at Bass Lake this weekend. Just thought, what does that mean to anybody? Oh, that's great, Phil. No, I just thought I'd let you know, past few days I was with the kids. Actually, I was with the kids, the wife and the kids, for one day, and then I got upset with everybody and I left. Did I tell you? I didn't tell you that part, did I, Janice? We go up, there's a beautiful, beautiful lake. My wife used to go there every year as a kid. And then later, Bass Lake became known as the place where the Hell's Angels made their annual run. Every year the Angels, I don't know if they still go up there or not. It's really a beautiful piece of country, and you go straight up the 5 to the 99, you go right up to Fresno, you make a big fat right turn on the 41, you head out about an hour to the 222, you take another right turn down the 222, and you're at Bass Lake, and it's a nice, big, beautiful alpine lake, not too high up, about 4,000 feet, so you're getting a little bit of snow in the wintertime. But it's really a summer lake, and it's a total water skiers lake. It's the kind of, it is water sports, man. I mean, in other words, you know, when I say, quit laughing, bud. It ain't that.
Wait, you go up with a yellow handkerchief in your pocket, make everything think, ow!
You filthy-minded little troll, I'm talking about my family.
You go up with a yellow handkerchief in your pocket?
No, you go up, and there's all kinds of nuts with jet skis, and they got speed boats, and they got banana boats, and they got those party boats that go, they got the party boats at about 115 knots, they're pulling water skiers behind those things, and they got guys on knee boards, and they got people on wakeboards, and they got, so anyway, we hooked the inner tube up to the back, so Fatso, you know,
You ought to see me trying to get up on one of those inner tubes. It's pathetic. You know, because it's a big, fat, thick inner tube in the water, right? So you try to climb. Oh, come on, man. Get on the thing. So finally, I've got to, like, hoist myself up on the boat and then throw myself onto it. Anyway, that knee board, when you're being towed behind a boat, it looks easy, doesn't it? Those water skiers, don't they look like... It looks like a lot of fun. But to do it, it takes a better man than me. The other thing about water skiing that's a drag, it's like it takes two people for one person to have some fun. You know, in other words, go, I got a great idea. What? I'll go out in the water and have fun and you tow me. Okay. I know you take turns, but I could tell my wife was getting... She was getting impatient because all of us were getting towed, and she's the only one with any real experience pulling water skiers. So she had to teach us, and finally we got the hang of it, and nobody ever did it right. And then a kid started a bellyache, and so I finally just said, okay, I've had it, I'm leaving. And I split. I mean, I really stormed out of there. I got in the car, and I drove all the way back to L.A., and all the way back to L.A., I'm regretting that I did it, right? But now I can't save face, can't turn around. I'm leaving it. All you guys are going to do, and we do nothing but spend money on great vacations for you kids, and I got a great idea. Why don't you just not have vacations at all? And I got in my car, and I drove back to L.A. like a big, fat baby. Then I got all the way back to the house, and the cat's looking at me like, so you're it, huh? You're the excitement for the weekend? Oh, man. Boy, that cat, every time it's just me and him, he looks at me like he's the most disappointed guy on earth. He's like... Oh, it's another weekend with you. You know, and I go all the way back to town, and I spent four of the loneliest freaking days. Yeah, sure, it's cool for a while. You watch all the great movies that you want to watch, go on a computer, surf every porn site, whatever. But at the end of the day, what do you got? I'll tell you what you got. Heartache. Or, the other end of the stick, you can invite a lot of friends over and have a party. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just ahead on our program, well, actually, we'll have this week a visit from Margaret Gray, who will be talking politics tomorrow night, Jay Santos on Wednesday night with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Bobby and Steve Dooley Thursday night, and Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with his observations on Friday evening. And this week, Vernon Dozier joins us as well. So it's another action-packed week on the Phil Hendry Show. And Michael Jackson's nose is apparently ready to just cave in. That's the latest that we've received. Jackson's nose is ready to just come right off of his kisser. If he has one more bit of plastic surgery, he's not going to have a nose at all. It won't look like a skeleton. I mean, it'll just be a flat thing. You know, in other words, he'll look like one of them aliens on Star Trek. Just you ever seen those aliens with just two slits? That's the latest word we have off the ticker. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Former mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani, was on a mafia hit list for assassination. It has emerged. Mr. Giuliani won worldwide acclaim for his calm handling of the aftermath of the September 11th terror attacks, but it's been revealed that a team of hitmen was assembled to kill Mr. Giuliani almost, did I call him Giuliani? Mr. Giuliani almost 20 years ago. At the time, he was a top federal prosecutor bringing members of the mob to justice. Mr. Giuliani triggered particular anger among mafia bosses when he prosecuted top Don Carmine the Snake Persico, who was jailed for life in 1986. The New York Daily News reports that Persico ordered Joel Kakachi or something like that to find a hit squad to whack Mr. Giuliani. But the team made a hash of the job and killed the wrong person? Mr. Giuliani spearheaded New York's zero-tolerance... Who'd they kill? Mr. Giuliani spearheaded New York's zero-tolerance policing policy, which some people regarded as heavy-handed. Let me tell you what Giuliani did for New York. He made the place a city where you can bring a family to now. And I'm telling you, you know, we had the kids in New York twice, and my kids are out in Times Square at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm not worried about a thing. I am in the hotel, and I'm watching TV, and we're having a couple of drinks, and the kids are out in Times Square. Sure, they turned up dead about an hour later, but the fact is I didn't worry up to that point. No, they were fine. They went across the street, got some pizza. They went over here to the toy store. They went there. There's cops all over the place. People are having a good time. If that's bad, then I'm living on the wrong planet. I don't know what people want, you know? What do you want?
Well, I mean, we should have police, okay? Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, uh-huh, okay.
But do they have to, like, do you have to see them?
So what if you see them?
Well, I don't get it, man. Well, it's just really heavy-handed.
I mean, Giuliani passed a law in New York, no more gridlock. You know what he did? If they catch your car in an intersection on a red light, what is it, like $300, Chris? Yeah. It's a $300 fine. Guess what? Ain't nobody doing it anymore. I mean, they're actually, you know, the traffic moves. There's a hell of a lot of traffic in New York, but it freaking moves. Heavy-handed. People are killing me, man. It's just killing me. It's like, you know, you forget where you're living anymore. Well, I don't know. Okay, the guy flew a plane into a building, but what are we getting all upset about? Okay, you're right. I really shouldn't respond. You should really have some counseling for that. Yeah, you're right. I've got an anger issue. I have a real anger thing about cats blowing up buildings, but that's, you know. And Giuliani. So anyway, they put him, and the mafia couldn't even, they killed the wrong guy. You know why I don't believe this story? The mafia didn't get to be the mafia being that dumb. There's no way in the history of man on this planet that the mafia goes after a federal prosecutor and tries to kill him. Maybe some dumbass, some guy who is a lowerling or whatever they call it, a soldier or some initiate or some guy who wanted to, you know, like a Christopher Moltisanti type who was pledging. Maybe he was a pledge. Maybe he was being rushed by the mafia and he wanted to impress them. So he said, I'll go out and I'll kill Giuliani. And he winds up killing some butler or, you know, killing a doorman in a hotel. Why'd you kill him?
Well, he looked like the mayor.
Why? Because he's wearing a big hat and he's got a nice coat on?
Well, yeah, isn't that what they look like?
No, dude, he's opening the freaking door at a hotel.
Oh, okay.
Back 100 years ago, the mayor wore a big hat with that thing and the thing around his neck. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I seen in a picture book one time.
No, that wasn't him. No, that guy opens the door at the Park Plaza, you dumbass guy. Now you're going to jail for killing a doorman. And you thought it was Giuliani.
Yeah.
Now, there ain't no way. I don't believe that. Even though the Daily News used to have a columnist called Gangland. They did a mafia society or whatever the hell, a social column on the mafia. Every week you could read, this week in the mafia. Well, it looks like little Snakey is going back to prison. And meanwhile, another guy turned up in a cement dump out in Jersey and this and that. Anyway, Giuliani was very popular when he united New Yorkers after Al-Qaeda struck the World Trade Center in the year 2001. By the way, this story comes from Sky News in Britain, so that's why it's probably poo with a capital P. All right, now on to the Scott Peterson trial, and just a couple of comments and some news for you. Garagos questioned Amber Fry for the first time. The defense got a shot at Amber Fry today. And they sought on Monday to portray the former mistress as a calculated seductress and a liar who was more obsessed with him than he was with her. Now, these phone calls and tape recordings don't exactly make it sound that way, but Garagos is going to try anyway. Under defense questioning, Fry insisted she taped and turned over to police all telephone calls she had with Peterson after being prompted to do so by authorities investigating the disappearance of Lacey. Aha! So Garagos's first line of inquiry is, okay, sure, you taped phone calls. You didn't tape all of them. You didn't tape all of them, baby. You held back the ones that maybe didn't make you look so good, didn't you? Aha, see, so he finds the first little chink. Last week, jurors heard 40 wiretap calls. According to police reports, authorities were suspicious that Fry may not have been taping all of her calls with Peterson. Fry maintained she cooperated fully. I recorded all conversations. Garagos said, did you turn over the tapes? I turned over every tape that I recorded. Did you ever make or receive calls from Scott Peterson that you didn't immediately tell detectives about? No, she said. At any point, did you hide any information? Said Garagos. No, she answered. Garagos then looked at her and said, you're a lying slut, and said no further questions. Well, that's kind of that's a change of pace, huh? No, he didn't say that. He noted that on December the 28th, Fry called Peterson 14 times. She said she wanted to thank him for a Christmas gift. How about leaving a message, honey? So Garagos is, he's got her now, and he's going to do his thing, and it ain't going to be pretty. Tomorrow night, Margaret Gray's 2004 campaign report. Wednesday night, Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous.